from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brendan Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown! Whoa! Jordan Lasley! The legend of Josh Rosen!
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free! It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores! On the last play of the game!
Optional. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're good out there enjoying life on this somewhat nice day in Knoxville, Tennessee. Sure beats the mess out of Columbus, Ohio. Besides the arena. Arena was badass. But we are rolling along here. So happy to have you with us talking just so much madness over the weekend. We're going to get discussions on brackets. We're going to talk about the breakdown, see how everybody's played out.
I'm killing my bracket, by the way.
Well, you know what? I didn't ask you because mine, okay.
Solid.
We'll talk about this.
Solid on the Sweet 16. Straight through.
Lots of news going on around the country today. I just saw a tweet. So Stormy Daniels, dumbass lawyer, has now come out and says he has the goods on college basketball players. So that would be interesting. He's having a press conference tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Whatever. We'll get into that later. Gronk retired over the weekend. College basketball galore. College basketball coaches were fired. I mean, it was just wild. And you know what? The games weren't even that good. Like, there were, there were probably, you know, a good 7 to 10 games that were actually good this past weekend. But other than that, it didn't kind of play out like I thought it would. But it's always fun, and I'm not going to complain about it. To my right, going to the bullpen today. Excited to have him here. He makes the show, you know, fun, and I enjoy him, and I appreciate him for filling in with me and Brandon today.
Aw, Trey.
That would be Brandon Johns. Brandon, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, Trey.
All right, that's good. Ben Lee joins us as well. Ben, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Just hanging out, enjoying it, loving the radio life.
Loving the radio life? Just enjoying life, huh?
Yeah, man. Get to do 3 hours of talk sports, and then you text me and say, hey, man, you want to come on with It's Optional? I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, why not? Let's talk.
I'm like, you know what? I will put the fan-run brand on my broad shoulders and carry us, as I have.
So that's going to play out. Nick Bromberg going to join us at 1:20 today. He'll break down the Kansas City region, who is going to host, everybody thought Kansas, but now they're going to host Auburn and Kentucky. That's going to be fun if they can somehow play in the Elite Eight for a chance at a Final Four. Brandon that's John joined us today. Yeah, it is going to be damn fun. Brandon Johns, how's the weekend, buddy? Explain everything.
It went really well, especially given that Tennessee didn't collapse.
Okay, well,
I don't know if I'd be here. I'd probably still be coming down.
Drunk in a ditch?
Yeah. Still walking home if Tennessee had lost that game.
Did you do anything fun besides watch the games, buddy? I mean, I always like to get involved in your young
life.
That was
my fun for this weekend. I watched, like, so much basketball. And that's why Gronk retired. He saw how much fun it was watching sports at home.
Man, I tell you, I went into basketball like shock last night. Like I got.
Did you get like winded too? Like, did you have to watch something else?
No, I think the 5 hour drive got it
good for
and
you.
I was still watching basketball on my phone.
I got home.
Like, I had it sitting up like right there where the speedometer is. I was watching basketball while I was driving back.
I got home from voluntary reaction, and like, I just felt like my brain was fried. Like, I was like, I've literally been watching basketball for what feels like 63 hours straight.
Right.
And talking about it for the last four. I was like,
I'm telling you, it was fun.
I went home and like my roommates had it on. I was like, can we just like turn on something mindless? Like, let's just throw on The Office so I don't have to think.
Put on some Jeopardy or
just something
some
I just
office.
Don't have to like I just don't have to like really use my brain anymore. I'm just gonna sit here and just like
So I got home last night and I watched the what game I was watching? Oregon UC Irvine game. And then the game before that. Well, it was Ohio State Houston. I'm kind of agitated. There's no basketball on tonight. Like, I've gone now like 12 hours without basketball. I feel like I need my fix. So I guess I'm going to have to go the women's basketball route tonight.
Oh, God.
I feel like today is the worst sports day in the entire year.
Well, there's the women's basketball tournament, and then there's the NIT, the CBI, and the CIT tournament.
Yeah, I'm with Brendan. There's no basketball on right now.
There's no baseball. There's no football. There's no basketball.
There might be some midweek game baseball like starting on Monday, right? Like,
yeah, there'll be a
spring training. It's not real baseball.
I don't care about Major League Baseball. Tennessee baseball have some games.
I mean, that'll start Wednesday or yeah. Tuesday or Wednesday.
So,
but they did get the series win over South Carolina.
Yep.
Like I said, hey, Tennessee baseball gonna be great. Nailed it. Called that one.
I'm telling you, they're rolling right now.
Yeah, I think they're in the top 25.
Tennessee advances on to the Sweet 16 after a crazy game yesterday, man. So let me walk you through it. I'm in my seat, you know, watching the game with Mark Whiteman from WATE here in Knoxville. He's sitting next to me and a couple other guys, and you know we're enjoying the game. You know, trying to tune in. Tennessee basketball goes up big, and I'm like, okay, this seems about right. And then we kind of looked at each other, and we're like, yeah, but we also feel like a comeback is going to be in store. Yeah, that seems about right as well. Iowa starts, and I told folks before the game. And they were like, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about." I said, "Tennessee." I was told Tennessee kind of feels like they're gassed, and that they're going to come out first half. They're probably going to go balls to the wall, and then they're going to be tired, really gassed. What happens? Tennessee was gassed in the second half to start. They started off slow. Iowa got rolling. All of a sudden, things start picking up a little bit. Iowa ties this basketball game up, and I'm like, "Oh boy." Did I really go through all that to sit here and watch this Tennessee team blow the biggest lead in the NCAA tournament? They didn't. They held on. That was a weird shot at the end of the regulation from Bowden in the left corner. I don't know why they didn't go down low, but whatever. They didn't put Admiral in on that formation either. Rick Barnes just talked about that in the press conference. So it wasn't like he took him out for the final play. They just didn't put him in. So that was interesting to me. Moore got released from press conference today from Rick Barnes regarding that matter. And Tennessee goes to overtime in 7 straight points. Grant Williams, bang, bang, bang. Couple free throws. It's over. Tennessee going to the Sweet 16. And they were ecstatic is an understatement. They doused Rick Barnes with water in the locker room. It was funny. Rick's hair was so messed up, he came out wearing like a hat, like a pullover, to his press conference.
Okay, yeah. See, I actually scrolled over a couple of the press conference interviews because it didn't look like Rick. Like, it, you know, like he's usually still in his professional suit. He's looking good. You know, he had like a flat bill hat on and the hoodie. And I was like, you know, why am I seeing these like random?
Breaking news. Breaking news, didn't mean to cut you off. Brandon, breaking news music. You second, I don't even need it.
We never have it.
I don't know what you're expecting. Breaking news. So you know how I mentioned just a minute ago about the dumbass lawyer, the Stormy Daniels lawyer, Michael Lavani?
Yes.
Remember that? I just told you about three minutes ago that he was having a press conference tomorrow.
I recall that.
Okay. Well, now, just in from Steve Portnoy. Portnoy, this is not Dave Portnoy from Barstool, okay? This is Steve. He's
Are they related?
No, he's a broadcaster for CBS News.
Not many Portnoys around.
Just in, federal prosecutors announced charges against Michael Avenatti, alleged he tried to extort Nike, threatening to release damaging info about the company if Nike didn't agree to pay millions to him and a client. According to the complaint filed in a federal court, Avanti told Nike attorneys by phone last week, if his demands were not met, I'll go take $10 billion off your client's market cap. I'm not effing around. So this freaking dimwit comes out in a tweet not 20 minutes ago. I got to pull this back up. I got to pull the tweet up. Saying, what's he said?
Can tell me the exact time he tweeted it.
Okay, so 12:16, so 45 minutes ago. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, we will be holding a press conference to disclose a major high school / college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike that we have uncovered. This criminal conduct reaches the highest levels of Nike and involves some of the biggest names in college basketball. Fast forward.
1:03 p.m.
Fast forward to 1:03 p.m. from CBS News. Federal prosecutors announced charges against Michael Avani, alleging he tried to extort Nike, threatening to release damaging info about the company if he didn't agree to pay millions to him and his client.
I mean, come on, man.
How does this happen? Like, how did...
this is, like, legitimate, like, TV-esque stuff going on. Like, we're going to blackmail these people, and if it doesn't work, we're just going to go public with it all, and then they can turn around and be like, yeah, no, we're just going to sue you for trying to blackmail us. Thanks. Thanks for trying, bud.
Oh, I've got the whole story. Michael Avani arrested for alleged $20 million extortion attempt against Nike. A press conference is scheduled to discuss the charges in Los Angeles on Monday. Said he's going to get charged with wire and bank fraud. Wow. I mean, what? Like, what?
I mean, this dude's just an idiot. Like, you tried to... it's dumb. It's dumb enough to try to extort Nike for millions of dollars because, like... Has it already been kind of, like, known, like, this FBI thing is just kind of, like, done? Like, nobody's really, like, nothing's happening with it. Everyone's just kind of like, yeah, well, people are getting paid. It happens. Tough.
I mean, guys, this is, like, real-world stupid stuff. Like, this idiot just posted on Twitter that he's going to take down Nike, and then all of a sudden... it's one of those things.
Nathan Odom tweeted out a gif of this baby, you know, walking around the corner and turns around and all of a sudden walks back and said, Michael Avanti at 12 p.m. versus Michael Avanti at 1:10 p.m.
What time was that first one? It was 12:15.
12:15, and then at 1:03, the CBS reporter came out and said that he's got the charges getting pulled on him for extortion and trying to release damaging info about Nike. He goes on, says the complaint alleges Avanti said he'd refrain from holding a press conference if Nike paid his client $1.5 million and agreed to retain him to conduct an internal investigation. In quotes, so I guess they were going to fake some kind of investigation after they retained Avanti, for which he and a co-conspirator would be paid at minimum between $15 and $25 million. So him and somebody else were trying to go to Nike.
So they had some dirt.
And say, we got this on you. You pay us, you pay our client, and then, you know, it'll just go away, and then you keep us on staff and pay us, you know, this decent salary here, and it'll all be fine.
We were talking Tennessee basketball, but this is the funniest thing that I've seen.
And Nike said, no thanks, we're good.
This is the funniest thing I've seen in a very long time. Because this idiot literally came out an hour ago and said, hey, we've got some damning news. We're going to take down Nike. And then all of a sudden the feds come in at 1:03. No,
you're not.
We filed a criminal complaint. You're screwed. There's no way of getting around it.
It's a federal thing, so like it makes me think even more that the FBI is like, yeah, well, college basketball corrupt.
I mean, he hacked some emails.
They're just like, yeah, Nike, Adidas, you're just gonna do what you can. It's kinda how it goes. Oh well.
The complaint alleges Avanti said he'd refrain from holding a press conference. So wait a minute, I'm confused here. I know we have to go to break, B-Dog, but I get that. But Didn't this? So you're telling me this dumbass put out the tweet threatening them?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the complaint. Did they put a complaint together in 45 minutes? I mean, it says the complaint alleges Avanti said he refrained from holding a press conference.
I'm sure as soon as he started the extortion against Nike, they were like, all right.
This guy tried to get a job. Yeah. If Nike paid his client $1.5 million and agreed to retain him to conduct internal investigation where they'd be paid $15 to $25 million, this dumbass, A, tried to get Nike in trouble, and then B came back on and said, hey, you know what? Also, I need a job. Let me get a job, and I'll investigate what I know and how I got it, but you got to pay me $15, $20 million. We've reached a whole new level of stupidity in this world.
I mean, like, yeah, that is a whole new level of stupidity. As soon as this guy came to Nike and said, you guys have to pay me this much money because I have this information, they started building that case to be like, hey, this guy's trying to extort us
and
release info about our company.
Nike's lawyers may not be as well known as this guy, but they are 1,000 times better.
Yeah,
lawyers. I mean, like, he's a clown.
He's proved
he's a clown like a year ago. He continues to do so.
Well, and he's, you know, one lawyer versus probably like this
an army
squadron. Yeah, of Nike lawyers that are all just getting paid like ungodly amounts to protect this company.
Yeah, from like the legal ramifications of sweatshop labor.
Yes. My mind is just blown. Let's go to break. Nick Bromberg is going to join us next. We're going to talk NCAA tournament, March Madness. I can't get over this idiot. We'll discuss more about this with him as well on the other side. Coming up next on It's Optional. It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. Getting more interesting news out of the world of dumbass attorneys. That would be Michael Avenatti. Whatever. I got to bring Nick on for this. I pray Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports has seen these tweets in the last 10 minutes because I want to talk about it. Nick, good afternoon to you.
Well, I can one-up you right now on that because I'm reading the indictment.
Oh, okay. So let's just get into this for a second because this idiot posted something on Twitter like an hour and 20 minutes ago saying he's going to hold a press conference, and then 45 minutes later he's put under arrest by the feds. So would love to hear the indictment. Anything standing out?
Yeah, so I'm scrolling through it right now, and it's so... In the background to the extortion scheme part, it's from a special agent with the FBI. He says, based on my involvement in this investigation, I have become aware of a multimillion extortion scheme in which Michael Avenatti, the defendant, and somebody named C.C. Warren, which I believe was a client of his, used threats of economic and reputational harm to extort Nike. Specifically, Avenatti threatened to hold a press conference on the eve of Nike's quarterly earnings call and at the start of the annual NCAA tournament at which he would announce allegations of misconduct by employees of Nike, a.k.a. what we did to an hour ago. And then it says Avenatti stated that he would refrain from holding the press conference and harming Nike only as Nike made a payment of $1.5 million to a client of his in possession of information damaging to Nike and agreed to, quote, retain Avenatti and this person, CC1, to conduct a, quote, internal investigation, an investigation that Nike did not request, for which Avenatti and CC1 demanded to be paid at minimum between $15 and $25 million.
I mean, dude, look, I know life comes to people fast, but honestly, how in the world did we get to where we were? And look, we're going to talk other stuff here in a minute, but this is just bonkers. How do you go from an hour and 20 minutes ago to tweeting about this, and then all of a sudden he had to know the feds were about to slam him?
And the feds in multiple jurisdictions. There's now reports that the U.S. Attorney Office in L.A. says that he was arrested today on embezzling money and banks and some bank stuff.
So this is separate than this?
It's different than the SDNY stuff based on what I have seen in the last, like, minute and a half. So it looks, yeah.
How do you tweet that he's holding a press conference? Where is he going to hold it from? The Correction Institute?
You know, that's going to be great publicity for the SDNY if he's sitting here holding this press conference on the SDNY steps because, you know, surrounded by U.S. attorneys here.
Okay, so my other question would be to this. Do you think he actually had some pretty damning stuff against Nike that it would go that far?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me because we all know that Nike's involved in what's to come. So maybe he figured he found some stuff that he figured he could try to jump on before anything came out in this trial in April. I mean, you have to give him credit for one thing, and the fact that is, you know, he was the one that did help bring that, you know, we're not going to jump into politics here, but bring the Stormy Daniels case to the forefront. He's very good at getting attention for himself. I'll just say that.
Right.
You know, in this way,
he's a good promoter.
Right. Exactly. You know, he's a good carnival barker. And in this way, you know, he got 30 minutes to himself basically. And then, the bomb went off right behind him. And I don't know if he was able to evacuate the building before it happened. So, you know, he's a good promoter. Maybe he did have something, but, you know, because he's such a good promoter, it was also in the minutes after reading his tweet of his, it was like, okay, just how really is damaging is this information? Because sometimes isn't it just best to just spring it all at once with no teeth?
Yeah, they just announced it. Well, you probably already said it, they're going to have a press conference today at 2:30. So for charges against Michael Avenatti. I mean, this idiot. I'm sorry. Whatever.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And you know, but that's the thing too is. How did he think? This is a pretty lengthy complaint. I mean, I'm only on. It's 11 pages, and I'd only gotten to page 4 before we started talking. So you know, and if there's something separate, so why did he think he was going to get away with something like this? If this is all true, that's what drives me crazy. He's like, you know, no. What attorney goes into Nike of all places and say, "Hey, you should pay me $20 million"? Because that seems so preposterous.
He wanted $20 mil to come in there and conduct. And act like the legal counsel and conduct the investigation into the matter that he's bringing to the foreline.
Right, exactly. And then you also would have to think, when this would come out, people would be like, Nike retained Michael Avenatti? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Good God. Just, oh, bonkers. So you were probably, I mean, potentially under the assumption that maybe you would get to host Kansas. You know, I mean, not get to host, get to report on Kansas in Kansas City. This upcoming week, turns out the SEC will be well represented in your neck of the woods. Biggest surprises from the NCAA tournament so far, brother?
My biggest surprise was easily the way that Auburn blitzed Kansas. I was in North Carolina obviously Saturday, missed a bunch of the early games, was out enjoying myself playing golf, and then I saw the late games and saw the Kansas-Auburn fiasco. I think it's the best way to put it if you're a Kansas fan. If you're an Auburn fan, that was the best half of basketball you've probably seen your team play all year. And this was, you know, I think we mentioned it last week, you know, this was a Kansas basketball team that does not defend the three ball well. And as we have seen, if Auburn gets hot from three and gets those threes in transition, they are absolutely unstoppable. And, well, you know, the strength of Auburn absolutely overpowered Kansas's weakness. So, you know, does Auburn have something for North Carolina? Maybe, but this is a North Carolina team, too, that Roy Williams loves to run. That's going to be an entertaining game, especially if Albert is making shots. I mean, that could be back and forth the entire night. And, you know, it's even if Bill Self wins that game, we're still in this position to make jokes about how the four teams in the Midwest Regional have all had significant NCAA infractions involving their coaches.
Isn't it interesting that we're probably there is a good likelihood that we're going to have kind of like a so-called March SEC championship in Kansas City for the right to go play for the Final Four.
There's a very good, and you know what, if you're the SEC, you have to take that as an absolute badge of honor, because you know, you look at the Big 12, for example. You know, this is the conference that was bragging about how it was the best in Ken Pomeroy's rankings all year long. And what happens? You have Kansas State playing out in the first round, and Texas Tech, the only team out of the 16 that's in the Sweet 16.
It is surprising, and I'll be interested to see how those games tend to play out. You look around the other NCAA tournament games. I actually picked FSU to go to the Final Four. They seem to be playing pretty well. Any other games that stand out to you? I'm going to get your opinion on Tennessee here in just a little bit, but. You know, was it the way maybe Florida you know, took down Nevada. I mean, there were other games that kind of stood out. You know, Baylor, in a sense, is now starting to kind of play some decent basketball. Purdue beating the ever-living daylights out of Villanova. I mean, what were some key standpoints and maybe some performances that kind of took you by surprise?
You know, I think you got to look at Oregon. I mean, I realize that they almost – I mean, that was a bizarre game last night. They were up big at halftime, blew it, ended up winning big again, which absolutely you never see that in the second half of a basketball game. But they got to the Sweet 16 after winning the Pac-12 conference tournament in a year where the Pac-12 was absolutely hot garbage. And you know, Oregon – they got a shot with the way that they're playing right now against Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is still the heavy favorite, probably will end up being favored by, you know, 7, 8, 9 points in this basketball game. But this is the thing that the Pac-12 needed, because if you were going, you were looking at it, you had Oregon and Washington, no one was picking either of those teams to get to the Sweet 16. Now the Pac-12, just as many teams as the Big 12 in the Sweet 16, if they pulled a stunner there, this is a little bit of a shine back for the Pac-12. It doesn't erase anything of the disastrous 18 months this conference has had, but it's at least something that it can point to, you know. And speaking of the Pac-12, I don't know if you saw this earlier, but Sports Business Journal reported today that ESPN came up to the Pac-12 and said, hey, if you want to extend your rights deal with us, we will take over operations of the Pac-12 network.
Yeah.
And Pac-12 saying, hey, you know, we're a media company, because they are so desperate for this Pac-12 network to work, even though it's not available for anybody, basically, in the eastern half of the country. They said, nah, we're good.
It will only get even crazier in how things play out. I watched that game last night, Pac-12 ball with Oregon and UC Irvine. It's still interesting to me to see how far Oregon's going to come play in Louisville. And they'll go up against Virginia. Tennessee gets Purdue. Tennessee had games against Colgate and Iowa. And look, Colgate burns that point guard. He was hitting threes with guys up in his face, two guys up in his face. He was knocking them down. Tennessee gets the win there. They're up 25 points against Iowa. They looked kind of sluggish coming out of the second half, and that's really all you need for a team to try to get hot on you. But Tennessee, you know, survives at the end, and it makes them pay in overtime. What's your overall takeaway from the Volunteers heading into, in my view, kind of a favorable matchup against Purdue leading into a potential matchup with Virginia?
You know what? I think this is a nice path. I realize that you're playing, you're saying that with a 3 seed and 1 seed on the way, but sometimes you need a little bit of puckering to figure out how to win a basketball game in the NCAA tournament, because, you know, this isn't, you're not, we're not talking about heights, that this is a regular occurrence here for Tennessee. It would have been very easy after blowing that lead when that game gets to overtime and Tennessee did not step on Iowa like it did in overtime to say, okay, you know what, we're not playing around anymore, we're done, let's end this now. Because usually in that situation, if somebody comes all the way back, forces overtime, they're the ones who think have that perceived advantage heading into overtime. So I only really saw much of overtime in that game. I was at Martinsville, the wonderfully entertaining, as everybody hoped it would be, Martinsville race, and I only ended up seeing the last 4 minutes of the Duke game, but I'm with you. I like Tennessee's chances a lot this weekend.
Man, is Duke beatable before we get to the Final Four? They just didn't play well against UCF.
Yes, but I think you have to hope for a situation like that again. And also, you know, it was the perfect storm, too, because you have a UCF team coached by a guy who knows Coach K very, very well.
Agreed.
If there was going to be somebody who could put up a game plan like that in 48 hours, it was going to be Johnny Dawkins.
I would tend to agree. And they also, you know, they used the size advantage down low as well to their advantage. I thought that was pretty smart on their part. Looking at around the NCAA tournament now and just taking a look, because I know we won't have you on before the end of the week, but just taking a look at around there, Texas Tech, Michigan, FSU, Gonzaga. I personally think if there's a one that might go down here in this next round, potentially FSU knocking off Gonzaga. They're playing some pretty darn good basketball right now.
They are. They're absolutely. I mean, that was the ACC tournament win was absolutely no fluke. And what kind of surprised me was that I heard last night Gonzaga is now at number five straight Sweet 16. It's a program that, you know, we've always viewed as a Cinderella. They had a couple stumbles you know, 10 years ago, but now it's consistently a Sweet 16 program. But you're right, this is going to be it's a very good matchup, I think. I think Florida State, that could be one of the more entertaining games of the Sweet 16 weekend.
It's going to be fun, man. And then we look at the Friday matchups real quick and just kind of going through them. You're going to be covering Auburn and UNC and then also Virginia Tech. No, I'm sorry, Houston and Kentucky. We talked about it a second ago here, but you look at Friday's lineup, man. They have three teams in the SEC. They're going to be playing in three out of the four of these games. I mean, what's the likelihood that LSU potentially upsets a Michigan State? And then, you know, if Auburn is playing up to their standards and hitting three balls, I would say they have a pretty good chance against the UNC team.
I do too. You know, this is a UNC team that I think now, if you believe Duke struggles are for real, this North Carolina team is the favorite. But, you know, with the way that Auburn has, you know, with the way that they played against a Kansas team who was flawed but pretty good, I think you have to give them at least a shot. As we said, you know, if they make a few threes in transition, let's go. Let's get this game first 1-90 wins. And I think if I was ranking them, I think I would put Auburn third still, maybe just behind LSU because, you know, you talk to Michigan State fans, they always feel so apprehensive of Tom Izzo's teams in the tournament. And then obviously, I do think I like Kentucky against Houston. I was slightly surprised that Iowa State went down to Ohio State in the first round simply because I kind of thought Iowa State was the team that was going to get to Kansas City and turn that place into basically a home game for the number six seed. So, Houston, I think they're a good basketball team, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I think this is where Kentucky's athletes and the guys that John Calipari has recruited are just going to overpower, I think, Houston's guys once you get into the last 10 minutes of that basketball game.
What was up with the paperclip this weekend, bud? What'd you think? I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was driving back from Columbus.
You didn't miss much. Let's put it this way. It was interesting, you know, sitting there and standing there after the race and all the top 10 drivers now come through with that way NASCAR does it now. And people are talking about how tough it is to pass and dirty air. And Denny Hamlin even said it before the race when he was on the pace lap with Fox. He was like, you know, you can't run behind the guy because he's big spoilers and they have the turbulent air and you got to figure out a way to do this. And it hits you. You go, wait a second. We're talking about this at Martinsville, like the one track on the NASCAR circuit where this is not going to be, this shouldn't be an issue. So it was very interesting to hear those remarks and also too, looking ahead to what's going on in your guys' neck of the woods in the next couple weeks, a lot of apprehension. I think apprehension's a good word. I think a lot of intrigue. There is a lot of unknowns about what's going to happen at Bristol, simply because these cars are just flying through the corners now. Brad Keselowski, after the race, said it could resemble what a World of Outlaws race, with guys just trying to figure out, you know, how fast they can push their cars, the G-forces they anticipate to be. They said that, you know, G-force is always high at Bristol, anticipate to be even higher with the corner speeds. They don't know how much brake they're going to use.
Awesome.
And, you know, if dirty air is going to be a thing, how do you drive behind, you're going to be flying around this track, and then how do you find the right line with a guy in front of you? So Bristol is going to be a very, very, very big curveball for these teams.
I can't freaking wait. Are you coming?
I am not. I am not. My next NASCAR race is Kansas. Hopefully the Bristol race in August. But, you know, I'm looking very much forward to that versus, say, Texas, which, you know, even after the repave has not produced the greatest of shows.
No, Texas is going to be boring this weekend. I'm sorry. I can't stand Texas Motor Speedway.
Give me more short tracks. And also, too, we got to say the new NASCAR schedule allegedly could come out as soon as tomorrow. There have been some changes teased. I don't know for officially what they're going to be, so I'm not going to try to speculate on them. Things are going to be different. I don't know if any tracks are going to be different, but order of tracks and the way things are constructed, I think you can say for sure, definitely going to be different. So that's definitely going to be a talking point next week once we have an idea of how and when NASCAR is going to end the 2020 season.
Just move the West trip back. I'm so tired of them going Daytona, Atlanta, and then, all right, we'll see you in a month. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't care for it.
Apparently one of the things bandied about, it was reported publicly today by Sports Business Journal, but it's at least been bandied about, was that it's going to be Daytona immediate West, because then Atlanta would then get bumped back to
race
of the season, so to avoid, you know, the 45 and crappy weather that they had this year.
That's true. Yeah, Bubba ended up getting 17th. That was a nice little finish for him.
He had a nice little run running with Ty Dillon. I was up in the press box for half the race, and they were rooting and gouging, you know. But, hey, he had a nice little top 20 run, better than RCR quasi-teammate Daniel Hemric, who ended up 27th.
Yeah. Then he got to run the trucks on Saturday, which was fun, he said. Had a good time. Said it was a lot more much of a crap fest when it comes to guys banging and bumping around there. So that was, hey, it was a good time. On your way out, man, I wanted your opinion on two coaching openings that happened in the SEC. Bryce Drew getting fired from Vandy, and Avery Johnson, let's just call it what it is, getting fired from Alabama. Just overall quick thoughts on that.
We talked about it. If Prohm's the man, it doesn't sound like he is. People think right. He may stay. I think it's an even bigger coup if Alabama can land Fred Hoiberg. I saw people mentioning him as a possible candidate. If you go from Avery Johnson to Fred Hoiberg at Alabama, congrats, Greg Byrne. You have done it, because
isn't that what Lars Anderson's reported that's already been done at Nebraska?
You're right, exactly. So, but you know, if you're Alabama, you have more money than Nebraska.
Exactly.
Say, hey Fred, it's not done yet. You want to come down here? I think that's a great move. And you know, right now with Texas A&M, we're still waiting. Buzz is still playing on in the tournament. And, you know, with Bryce Drew, again, he lost a lottery pick before the season.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't go 0-19. I don't care how good the SEC was this year. You got to win a basketball game.
Dude, they tried to put him in an athletic department role. That was, legitimate. Like, I know for a fact that happened, that they came to him and said, hey, man, would you like to work in the athletic department? You might could even be an assistant coach.
That kind of sounds like what Mizzou did with Kim Anderson a few years ago after that disastrous run.
Right? I mean, how the hell do you do something? Like, I don't know. It blows my mind. He'll probably end up on his brother's staff for a year or so and then move on to – I think he can go back and be a mid-major coach.
You know what? He goes and has a good time at Baylor for the couple years, because Scott Drew, those teams constantly, I mean, he gets into the tournament on a regular basis, and then you go take a mid-major job and go from there.
Yeah.
But, you know?
Yeah. It'll end up working out. Nick Bromberg, tell everybody where they can follow you and the stuff you got coming up this week, brother.
Hey, sports.yahoo.com as always, at Nick Bromberg on Twitter, at Yahoo Sports CFB. No, it won't be much CFB this week. Looking forward to being at the Midwest Regional on Friday and Sunday. I cannot wait. One of my favorite weekends of the year.
Can't wait to discuss it with you next Monday, brother. Have a great week. Enjoy the tournament, and have fun reading that indictment.
Hey, will do. And if I'm seated behind the CBS guys this weekend, I'll make sure to wave to everybody.
Please do. We need a Fox Sports Knoxville sign. That'd be great. Thanks, bud.
All right. You can send me one, and I'll put it up there.
You got it. Have a great day, man. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Mark Moses joining us. As usual, moved him up a day because Aaron Torres is going to join us tomorrow. We got bumped for Cowherd today. We did. It happens. He's going on Cowherd.
We're not as important as
Cowherd.
Well,
you know, it's national TV as well. So I was like, okay, Aaron.
This is basically national radio.
Well, I know that.
We're worldwide.
Right. I know we are. But
we got a guy in Japan.
I told Aaron. I was like, hey, man, look.
Germany.
You go do your Cowherd thing. It's good stuff.
Yeah, if you just don't want to be worldwide.
Right, worldwide. Whatever. We have one listener in Germany. We got about 8 listeners in the UK.
There's that guy in Japan.
There's that guy in Japan that listens to us. If you're listening to us from Japan, thank you.
Hello, 3 a.m.
I saw we had 73 listeners in Hawaii as well. So, aloha.
You want to know what's actually, what's one of the funnier ones to find, on our sheet, when you look up at all our data?
Which one?
Houston, Texas. We have 76,000 or something podcast constant.
Right.
In Houston, Texas. And for a while it jumped even higher up because Houston Kress on the morning show had some shtick where he just followed their football team.
Yeah.
And anytime he talked about it, they'd play some song. Houston.
Hey, look, we're a global brand, and I'm glad. We'll talk my trip to Columbus this past weekend, how I ended up at a casino. We'll do that, and more on the other side. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Breaking news. We need to go back to this dumbass out of New York, Michael Avenatti. It is now being reported that he was arrested at 12:30 today by the FBI in New York. That means he sent the tweet regarding Nike and his press conference and blowing the lid off everything about 16 to 17 minutes before he was arrested. So can you imagine he's sitting in his penthouse or hotel, and I'm going to put out this fire tweet real quick. We're going to get everybody involved, get a bunch of likes and retweets. And then all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, FBI, open the door. Damn, they got me quick.
See, I pictured it more of like, oh, they're closing in. It's now or never. Time to get this off.
I got to get this tweet off.
Nike's extorting kids.
Yeah.
They're giving kids money.
Voice activation on iPhone. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Go, go, go. Like, I'm picturing like he knew like his time was up. The feds are on his case.
Siri, tweet this quick.
Go, go. Get this out. Scorched earth. Nike, they're paying the kids. Corrupting college basketball.
You won't take me alive.
That's how I saw it. Although it would be funnier if he was like, you know, feeling good. He's like, all right, you know what? Nike, screw you guys. You don't want to pay me? All right, let's fire up this tweet then.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Yep. excuse me, Mr. Avenatti. The FBI is downstairs. They want to see you.
Yeah, gets the buzz up. Who is it? FBI. I'm not home right now.
Damn, they got me quick.
Oh, hell.
Let me fire off this tweet real quick.
Yeah, I'll be right down. God, how do I stop the elevator? Where's that emergency button?
It's I can't get all the characters in. 11:30 tomorrow, Mega Bowl. Press conference.
I thought they did away with the character count. Damn it!
That'd be great if he like posted bail and then come out and just did the press conference anyways. Like,
he's stopping at every floor. Like, just hit every single button.
I'll be down there in just a minute.
I'm on my way. Oh, God, 13, 14.
I'm taking the stairs. Elevator's broken. Can't quite get down there quick. Damn, Wi-Fi is going out. I can't get my tweet out. Oh, God bless Michael Avenatti. That's fantastic. Thank you so very much for giving us some news today. Big wins for Tennessee this past weekend. Unbelievable performances, in my opinion, from Lamonte Turner. I thought Admiral played good. I thought Kyle Alexander and Grant were playing phenomenal. We'll discuss this Admiral Schofield not playing towards the end talk. We'll get into that. Rick Barnes put some clarity on that bad boy today. We'll do that in the second hour. No guests. We're opening up the phone lines to you. 865-546-8200. Call in the McKinney team hotline. Get in with us. Let's chat. Let's figure out what's going on. I want to hear what's up in your mind. How are you guys taking this past weekend? You know, I call in a voluntary reaction from the arena, and it sounds like I'm calling into a freaking funeral. So that was not pleasant, but
we
I thought
fun.
I thought I cheered you guys up a little bit, you know, especially after I told you guys Lamonte needed to go to class.
Oh my God.
So you know what? He's getting his education. Brandon, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour, getting you ready for the second one. It's optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. It's lit and I'm about to go boom. Mercy, mercy, mercy me. Oh, my life was a cage, but on stage I'm free. Hyped up, psyched up, ready for wildin'. Standing in a crowd of girls like an island. I see the one I wanna sit. Come here, cutie. I flip her around and then I work down. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.
We gotta talk on the radio. I guess
get
I will.
My headset right.
I guess we're live.
Yeah, we're live. Jason Burgess tweets in, I am one of those listeners from Houston. Moved down here from Tennessee a few years ago to be a modern-day Davy Crockett. Well, thank you, Jason.
Wait, what? Sorry.
This guy, a guy from Houston, Texas.
Oh.
Tweeted and said he's one of those listeners from Houston.
That's right.
He said he moved down there to be a modern-day Davy Crockett.
There we go. Yeah, we're worldwide. Nationwide, worldwide, everywhere.
Would like to throw something out real quick.
WKGN app.
Go get your Fan Run t-shirts. If you're listening right now, go get your Fan Run t-shirts. Supposedly there's a well-known person who's rocking a Fan Run t-shirt right now on campus.
Supposedly. We're getting texts saying some big-name people rocking Fan Run logos.
Yeah, rocking the Fan Run right now. I'm sure they're loving it over there. I would really like to see a picture of this. So we should get some tweets out to this said person and just see if he replies back and shows what kind of shirt he's wearing.
All right, I'll tweet at him.
Thank you.
I'll find him.
Please tweet at him. It's not hard. Let's not give it away either. Second hour, we're going to break down the Tennessee-Iowa matchup from this past weekend. Talk about the craziness that in Columbus, it was just bonkers back and forth. We're also going to take your phone calls as well, 865-546-8200. We'll talk about what to look forward to. I watched a little bit of Purdue last night before I went to bed. We'll talk about them a little bit, the matchups that will be upcoming. And then we'll also, we're going to break down the other games in the tournament as well. I want to know how your brackets are going too. Because I'm still sitting in the 95 percentile, so I'm feeling pretty nice.
My Sweet 16 is solid. I'm all the way down the board on that one. I think I was in the 93rd or 95th percentile or something like that. I'm second in my group, in the group that I'm in.
Okay, you're second?
Yeah, I'm so mad. I was like, how do I have every single Sweet 16 team and I'm second?
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I mean, whoever's in front of me is absolutely killing it. But still, like, damn it.
There's still one perfect bracket out there.
That's what I heard yesterday.
No, I thought the one perfect bracket had Purdue beating Tennessee and.
So it'd still be out there.
Yeah.
They haven't played yet.
Oh, no. Sorry. Iowa beating Tennessee. Like, the one that ESPN tweeted out, like, over the weekend that was, like, and then there was one perfect bracket, had, like, three misses on it that day.
I'm missing one team out of my Sweet 16. One team.
Do you have Kansas State instead of Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not that stupid.
The rest of my Sweet 16 is intact.
Could not be me.
You couldn't say that right now.
I just told you my entire Sweet 16 is solid.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
What do you mean?
Right. Well, you don't have Florida State going to the Final Four.
I think I have them losing in the Elite Eight, actually.
Okay.
So.
Well, there you go then. Sucks for you.
I mean, yeah, I would hate to be that stupid idiot that had Oregon not.
All right, let's
Sweet
go to break, Brandon. We'll come back on the other side. We'll have news of the day with Brandon, what's trending, what's hot out there. Brandon, give us his Kardashian report and Temptation Island report from last week. I'm really intrigued by this. Want to talk to him more about it. Tennessee basketball, we'll do this, do a little bit of that. Other side.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.